Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. What song you want to sing today? We're all singing a song. What song would God like for me to sing? I am recording this episode outside, and the sun has not yet come up. If I time this right while I'm talking, the sun will make its appearance, and I'll tell you why as we're going through it. The song for today is called We Three Kings, and I want to talk to you about what do you do when you feel like an outsider, and about how there's two ways of being an outsider. And one of them is filled with darkness, but one of them is filled with light. We got to start with the three kings. What are these guys doing in this story? In the first place, as you probably know, we don't know how many there were, so it wasn't necessarily three, and they were not actually kings, as far as we know. The old word that's used is magi. These guys are outsiders. They do not belong. They were not part of Israel. They did not know the scriptures. They did not follow Torah. They could not speak Hebrew. They did not worship the God of Abraham. What's worse, they were astrologers. You'll see a little footnote in Matthew chapter 2 that sometimes how that word is translated, magi, likely from Persia. Now, the Bible is real clear that astrology was forbidden. Any kind of divination or sorcery was regarded as occultic because it separated divine power, supernatural power, from justice and goodness and love, and made it into something that people thought they could try to manipulate. That's always tempting to the human race, and God said no. However, when Jesus is born, part of the message is the outsiders are coming. The outsiders are coming. And it's possible for people to believe the wrong stuff and do the wrong stuff, but do it with a good heart. It's also possible for people to believe the right stuff and do the right stuff, but do it with a bad heart. And God understands all this. And so it's like, I want to make a big exception, and I'm going to put into the story of Christmas, the arrival, the message about my love and my desire to include folks who are on the outside. And so that's what he's doing here. What did the Magi get right? They were looking for the light. They were seeking the light. So now let's talk about light a little bit. I mentioned that hopefully the light is going to dawn while I'm doing this. As you probably know, nobody is aware of what date Jesus was actually born. And the reason that the church located it when it did on December 25th is that's about the time of the year when the days begin to get longer, when the winter is going to be over, when the light increases. And so that commemorates the statement of Jesus, I am the light of the world. So now today, part of the invitation is just reflect on light. Just be grateful for light. Think about the fact that God did not have to create light. And what an existence it would be for us if there was no such thing as light. In fact, in the story of Genesis, we're told the very first thing that God created was light. God said, let there be light. Light is such an amazing thing. These little particles, whatever they actually are, called photons. The physicist in our family actually did a dissertation on the release of gamma radiation in terrestrial lightning strikes when that happens. And the release of photons and the way that it's tracked is just remarkable. Gamma ray bursts out in the universe are called the most luminous explosions in the universe. A gamma ray burst, a single one, can release more energy than the sun will release in its entire lifetime. And we hosted one time a event where there were, I don't know, 15 or 20 physicists or doctoral students in physics at our condo. And as you might imagine, the humor was unique. My favorite story about this, you'll just have to put up with because it says something that I want to express. A photon is checking into a hotel and the clerk says, "Don't you have any suitcase? Don't you have any baggage?" And the photon says, "No, I'm traveling light." Well, that's a phrase that I want to hang on to a little bit, that notion of traveling light. Now, God creates light in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4. He says, "The God who said, 'Let there be light,' spoke light into the universe, has caused his light to shine in our hearts so that we would have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." And when Jesus comes, in the Gospel of John, in his kind of incarnational narrative, he says about Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is what is God. In him was life, and that life was the light of human beings. And that light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out." And this is what the Magi somehow understood. And they brought gifts. So the tradition of gift giving at Christmas traces its way back ultimately to them. Church has always been kind of fascinated by these characters. And if you ever read through the song or when you sing the song, it reflects the fact that in the text they bring three gifts. One of them is gold, and a king's crown might be made of gold because it just seem to last forever. Jesus is king. And then frankincense, incense, of course, in the ancient world was widely used for worship because God is right here. God is king and God is worship. But then the third gift was a little bit unusual. And the verse in the song goes, "Myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb." Have a nice day, Mary and Joseph. One scholar wrote, bringing myrrh to the birth of a baby is kind of like bringing a coffin in our day to a baby shower. Why would you do that? Well, somehow there was a recognition that he came as king. He is one to be worshipped. But then he is one who would die for us. He would live a life and die a death of sacrificial love. He would have no place. When Jesus was alive, he said, "Birds have their nests and foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I'm traveling light. I'm traveling light. So here's the invitation today. As the light again comes into this world, and that's a gift of God. Every day when that happens, that's a gift of God. The sun comes back up, and that's a gift of God. Thank God for light. As you walk through the day, just be grateful when you can see anything. If you turn on a lamp, be grateful for light and for its power and strength and its illumination and the truth that light makes available to us. And then as we walk through the day, travel light. You don't have to carry baggage. That's part of why Jesus came and taught, and part of why he died on the cross, is the baggage that weighs me down. My guilt, my sin, my failure, my inadequacy, my regret, all the things that I wish that I could do over, I could just put them down in front of the manger, in front of the cross. And then I, like Jesus, can welcome the outsider. Really interesting. There's all kinds of research on the psychology of outsiders. And folks who work in that field will say there's two different ways of being the outsider. There's the unwilling outsider. And we've all felt that. Everybody feels that. It's part of not being in Eden anymore. We all feel away from home, away from ourselves, away from God, that sense of alienation. I don't quite belong here. I don't think people really want me here. I feel kind of like a reject. We all experience that. And that's one form of being an outsider. but it can be a pretty dark experience. But then folks who work in that field will say, there's another kind of remarkable experience. Some people are chosen outsiders, and very often the most innovative work, the most creative thoughts that enter into our world, the real innovations come through people who are here, and yet they're aware of a kind of apartness. Now, Jesus was the great outsider. It's interesting, in communities in the ancient world, there would be a tribal fire, and if somebody was excluded by the community, if the community wanted to make them into an outsider, they would have to go beyond where the fire cast its light on them. The light would get real pale, and then it no longer extends any farther. And Dallas Willard actually writes about that in one place, the expression that we have, that somebody is beyond the pale. They are an outsider. They're not part of us anymore. They are rejected. But now in Jesus, nobody's beyond the pale, because he is the great outsider. It says in the book of Hebrews that when Jesus died, he died outside the gates of the city. He went beyond the pale. Whatever rejection, alienation you have felt, Jesus felt it first. He is the great outsider for you and for me. And in Jesus now, the outsiders are coming. So today, love the light. Thank God for the light. What a great idea light is. Today, travel light. Travel with him. That's our song.
Hey, I'm Tim, part of the team here at Become New and a card-carrying member of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand. If you don't know what that is, we've actually got a video that you can watch where John explains it. What song are you going to sing today? I just want to encourage you today and tell you that the song you choose to sing over your day, that you carry with you in your heart, it really matters. It really makes a difference, and you get to choose. So maybe you'll sing the song that John gave us today, or maybe you'll sing your own song. But whatever it is, I hope you choose it with a heart full of hope and joy and love, knowing that that song is going to make a difference in your life and the life of those around you. If you want to find out more about Become New, head over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has nearly 1,000 10-minute teachings, just like this one, all about the person you're becoming, because we care about spiritual formation here as we are learning to follow Jesus each and every day. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.